It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Born March 5th in Massapequa, New York, we first met our next guest as the frontman for multi-platinum rock legends, Twisted Sister. But he has since gone on to become a one-man media empire, from film and reality television to the stages of Broadway, crusading for free speech against the PMRC, working as a radio host, releasing solo records, becoming a novelist, and much more. He has a handful of live dates coming up alongside Poison's Bret Michaels. His A&E biography is currently streaming online, and you can hear him every Sunday morning on this very station as the host of House of Hair. Please welcome rock legend and longtime friend of the show, Dee Snider.
Mr. Dee Snider, where in the hell are you? In North Carolina now?
I'm in North Carolina, brother. I built a compound for my family, and we all move here, kids, grandkids. And,
good for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. We were up there riding, rode the Outer Banks and, all up through that coast there. And I mean, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's an amazing state. There's like so many incredible things going on, for me right now over here. But Johnny, I had a realization yesterday.
Yeah.
When they told me at Starbucks, tomorrow they were premiering the pumpkin spice latte is back. Or whatever that thing they have every year.
Yeah.
And I hate the pumpkin spice latte. I hate the taste. I hate the hoopla. I hate the idea. I hate the news channels making it a major breaking news story. I can't stand anything about it, but I realized this is the essence of life. I can hate something and you can like it and you can have it. I don't have to have it.
Shut up, Dee
Snider. Simple as that.
That can't understand? Be.
Life is a pumpkin spice latte. You don't have to stop other people from enjoying it.
What?
Because you hate it. And they don't have to make you drink it because they like it. It's as simple as that. And this is the problem with the world.
Yeah.
So everybody's trying to tell you can't have your pumpkin spice latte or you got to drink the damn thing.
So
no, your choice is yours.
You're telling me I don't care for broccoli. In fact, I despise broccoli. But yet I don't have to take broccoli away from you if you want to eat broccoli?
Exactly, Johnny. You don't have to have some arbitrary board pass some ancient people pass some rules saying that you can or cannot have broccoli. You can choose for yourself, sir.
It's crazy enough. It just might work, D. It just might work. Dude, it's crazy to watch people go through this. Listen, nobody's ever doubted where you stood on any subject. You have always been clear. You're always, above all, you never fall into that hypocrite category. And isn't it funny, for a guy as opinionated as you, and you feel very clearly on so many things, you never take it away from somebody else. You may not like something, you'll be very clear about it, but you don't ever have that urge to stop someone else. And I don't know, man, where this became the new normal. Like, if I don't like it, nobody else can have it. Nobody else can love it. Nobody else can see it. Nobody else can hear it or read about it.
In all seriousness, you know, that's exactly the point that people understand. They say, oh, you're super on the left. No, I'm not super on the left. Never. I mean, I've voted right. I've voted left. I voted independent. I vote by the candidate and in my best judgment at the time. Take the information that I have and try to make the best decision.
That's right.
I'm just for everyone's right to choose.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm a concealed carrier, and I drive a stinky H2 Hummer and a Tesla. Okay, they're not mutually exclusive.
That's right.
And this extreme left, extreme right want to dictate to the vast majority of people what they can and cannot see, do, experience, like, whatever. That goes against choice. And it's all about I'm pro-choice on every level.
That's right.
You choose. And as long as you're not stepping on anybody else's, you know what? Do your thing.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Dude, I feel like, and I know you feel the same way. You start to feel like a man with no country, right? If I go, hey, I care about these people. I don't think you should beat up on them or they should be maligned or downtrodden because of their sexuality or their gender or their religion or anything like this. And then they're like, oh, you lefty turd. And then you're like, but I also like you. I concealed carry. I have guns. I like cars. I have all these motorcycles, all this stuff. They're like, oh, no, he's definitely, look at him, MAGA. And you're like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about?
If you go online, you will find I am mutually hailed and reviled.
Yes.
On both sides.
Dude, that's
both sides.
Yeah.
You will find people, D's with us. D sucks. I'm like, wait, is that possible? Yes, that's possible because I'm a rational thinking person.
That's right.
Like most of us out there.
That's right.
Johnny, people say to me, I said, you know what? The vast middle has to speak up. And the moderates, and they say, what's a moderate? I said, if you're willing to have a conversation and consider a compromise, you're a moderate.
That's right.
Okay? You're a moderate. But you know what? The vast amount of people are willing and are willing to have a conversation and are willing to consider compromise. They're just not as outspoken as the extreme left and extreme right. The loudest voices in the room are actually the bullying minorities. And that's
sure.
A fact.
Oh, and both sides do it. They cast you out. And that's what people are now shutting down about. They don't want to be, what do you want to call it, canceled or whatever. You know, we cancel beer because we don't like the person who drank it. We cancel this. Dude, you got in trouble. You've always been a live and let live cat. And you've, above all, fought bullies. You've always punched up. That's the D. Snyder credo. It's always been that way. And then even you caught trouble from, you were supposed to go out and host a parade in San Francisco. It was
a gay pride parade.
Yeah.
The biggest gay, or whatever you want to, trans, whatever you want to call it, parade in existence.
Sure.
Wanted me to be the grand marshal. I was going out, and I said one thing that didn't agree with the agenda of certain people in that, if that's from that community, and they went insane.
It's, which
they
is
went
crazy.
Insane. So it's like all or nothing. I go, no, that's not how it is.
No.
Not
no.
All or nothing.
No, no. And by the way, for the record, it wasn't anti-anything. It was just a decision. You go, hey, no, I don't agree with this part of this. And it's very simple. And listen, I can't join any group that wants to indoctrinate me. I'm not going to put on your uniform and then be beholden to everything you say on every level to the minute detail. It's crazy. That's how Nazis start. That's how all the bad in this world happens when you blindly follow anything at all. It's,
so there was an attempt to cancel me, to which I pushed back hard on social media.
Sure.
And that went viral. I said, you're kidding, right? You want to cancel me? The one that you were going to host the gay pride parade? The one, and I started quoting people saying, D. Snyder has stood with us. You know, and I said, I didn't agree with one thing. It's all or nothing. No, that's not how it is. And that's not good for you guys. If you're going to demand that of anybody, total allegiance or nothing, and that goes for either side, you're going to be standing with a very small group of people. You need people that are willing to fight for you with you that may not agree with every single detail of your belief system.
That's right. That's it, man. And that's the thing that I think that's how you've survived in this world, D, is you've never been the weak type. And that's, to me, is what the truth is. People are weak, so they're afraid of being cast out. They're afraid of losing their tribe. They're afraid of being pushed away from something, right? They're so afraid to stand alone that they have to be in this group, which means they're super vulnerable to taking on every mandate that comes down their way, regardless of if it doesn't sit right or if they know consciously that this isn't okay what we're talking about. But you've never done that.
Absolutely. My favorite comment on social media is, D, you changed. I go, no, actually, I'm exactly the same as I've always been. I said, you changed. I said, you were young and crazy, and you were all, you know, you're all fighting for everybody's rights, and all of a sudden you became this conservative right wing, and that's just one side of it. But this particular people attacking me, you, no. You look at everything I've ever said. I would love to go back to testifying for the Senate or something again, or Congress. Everything I spoke of in 1985, I have lived, and I still stand by those exact things that I said. Now, I'm not changed. Other people have changed. And you know what? And change is not a bad thing, except when you want to take, when you want to infringe on other people's rights and other people's choices.
Oh, that's it, man. And that's the thing is I love is, you know, people can get upset, D, because you've never shied away from your opinion. And like I said, you've always allowed others to have their opinion. You know, it's never that person's got to stop. But man, it sure does make people mad when you're that truthful. Like, that's what I'm looking forward to. I didn't, by the way, this biography, D. Snyder, slipped right past me. I don't know how I missed it. So I'm going home today to watch it when the show's over. And I'm really excited about it because it's a brand new piece and a look into your world. And so I did some quick reading up on it this morning and about, you know, it talks about the relationship with your band, with your wife, with everything in your world, man. And the fact that, you know, even though we know what we believe in, we don't always get things right. You know, we all make mistakes. We all got to work our way through stuff.
No doubt. I mean, it, you know, and I think that's an important thing to share with people is that, oh, so, you know, he's no different than I was. You know, it's no more special than I am. It's just, you know, maybe he refused to take no for an answer.
Right.
Maybe he was more mad at the world, and maybe he. I'll tell you, this is a true story. Okay, this is funny as F, but not for it shouldn't be. So I'm friends with Penn Jillette, right?
Right.
And so Penn and I have known each other for years. We you know, and he's never seen me perform, and I've seen him. So I was playing in Vegas. I said, Penn, come see my show. And then Penn later said, I was sort of trapped. He said, I really don't like to go out, but it was no excuse. You were down the block from my house. It was a dark night for my show. I'm out of town. So he says, I went. And this was on his podcast. He said the next day, he said, D, he said, what I saw on stage, I will share with my great-grandchildren what I experienced. Because, Dee, I never expected you to be the performer that you are. He says, now, don't worry, people, I'm not listening. I'm not just blowing smoke on my butt. It gets good. So he goes, you know, he says, and I was shocked. I figured, you know, 80s rock guy. But what I saw was incredible. He says, not only what you did that on stage, he goes, but the fact that you were given nothing as a child. And I'm like, what? He goes, you didn't have the gifts others had. He goes, Jim Morrison had looks. He had a voice. He had talent. You had none of that. And I'm sitting there going, thank you. He goes, and by sheer, and he's being sincere. And I'm going, oh my God, I'm getting beaten up here. He goes, by just sheer will, you refused to take no for an answer. And you forced it to be the way you wanted to be. And it was unbelievable. And I was going, that's the most backhanded compliment I've ever gotten.
but you know what's funny? How true is it in the sense of, hey, I disagree with him. You were born with a great voice and a really strong voice. But you're right. You're not Mike Tramp or John Bon Jovi from that era. You weren't. So you played to what you were, physical, big rock and roll for this blue collar, beating your ass on Long Island nonstop. He's right. It wasn't handed to you. You weren't born into this. You had to earn it and you had to fight for it. Hell, I remember the stories about you and J.J. French going to war over who's going to get a song. This is before Twisted Sister ever became a band we'd heard of. This is back in the club days. So you found a way, and listen, people can say what they want, but you don't play a lot of instruments at that time, right, D? You were a singer and a singer.
No, I'm an awful guitar player. So if I had to depend on my guitar playing ability, to write songs, it would be non-existent.
Right. So you had to learn to write songs. And listen, I don't care what anybody says. It's one thing to be able to sing somebody else's song. That's a gift, and that's hard to do. To start to create and make these songs, which you did, that came out of just pure like fury, spite, and anger against the world. Like, you were like, no, now I'm going to learn how to do this so nobody can stop me from going where I got to go.
I remember, you know this song, the rest of the audience might not know as well, but when I came in with the song Under the Blade, and I'm singing the guitar parts and drum parts, and I go, no, you go, da 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 da, and they're looking at me like I've got a horn going on in front of my head. And I said, you know, and this is the guitar riff. They go, what are you saying? And I thought, all right, I'm literally singing every note slowly. And finally they decided to tune in and go, oh, okay. Oh, he's not insane. All right, he's actually singing a riff, but I couldn't play it, so I had to sing it.
Yes, but that was it. And you, but it pushed you into a position in that band, and so that it wasn't so one-sided, I think. And again, I wasn't there, but this is what I pick up from the book, from, you know, Shut Up and Hand Me the Mic, from everything I've read, knowing you all these years. You had to get on equal footing, and you had to become a songwriter. My point is, you weren't gifted any of these things. You did have to push yourself into those positions. That's the only way it worked. When videos came around, you knew what you wanted to portray. You knew what you wanted the band to look like. You knew everything that you wanted to lay out.
Yep. And, I mean, yeah, I was going to say, he's right.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, it's funny though, because I've been talking to a lot of people, and I said, you know, it took 10 years for the band to break. 10 years.
Yeah.
And I said, if people told me, if the Lord above came down and said, Dee, all your dreams will come true, but it will take 10 years, I would have said, Lord, I'm going to do something else, because that's a lot of time.
Right.
10 years? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, you just wake up one day, you go, oh, my God. I invested so much time. And it's one of those things, even people in other worlds where you go, I put so much time into this, is no going back. You know, there was one point where Twisted, very close to when we got signed to Secret Records in England, but we were about to call it a day. We like had tried everything. We're like, what are we going to do next? And then we're like, what are we going to do? Work at factories? I mean, you know, I guess we'll just keep going. But I mean, we came close to packing it in, because
sure.
It just wasn't happening.
And it was almost like the world was conspiring against Twisted Sister. If you're just joining the show, Dee's with us, Dee Snider. You were selling out theaters and places that were in the thousands, 2, 3, 4, 5,000 seaters, and selling them out. And you're like, do you see, record companies, what we're doing without you? And still, there was like almost like a built-in bias, like they were just pissed off about Twisted Sister. In fact, there was one record rep that a record label president said, if you bring him to me again, you're fired. If you try to get him back, who was that? What was the A&R guy?
Jason Flom, who
Flom.
Became a major, you know, signed Kid Rock, and he signed Third Eye Blind, and he signed, I mean, his list is a powerhouse. But he was just an A&R dude, and he desperately was trying to get a sign. And finally, the president of the label, Doug Morris, who personally rejected us 5 times himself, and then contacted other associated labels and told them not to sign us. He told Jason Flom, if you ever mentioned our name again, he was fired. To his credit, Jason made a dossier, handed it to Phil Carson, who was the head of Atlantic Records in Europe, and Phil checked the band out and signed us. And he had the power to go against Doug Morris. And when Doug heard that he was signing Twisted Sister, Doug said, it's on your head. It's on your head. And Phil said to him, you mean like when I signed ABBA, when I signed Yes, when I signed ELP, when I signed AC/DC, you mean like that?
Yeah, right.
On my head. He goes, okay, it's on my, it took that kind of guy to step up. But we were really fighting the tide.
Yeah. And don't you think that these are the best wins? Like, sometimes I think we survive and we continue on. And truly, the reward is, it's out of spite. It's out of everyone who ever tried to kick us in the dick, everyone who tried to step on our head, everyone who said you're not good enough, because it's just the fuel it's just a little more than the other guy has.
Well, I'll say this. I'll say that, yes, there is this joy of against all odds. You know, I fought the fight and I won. You know, you're scarred and beaten and more. You know, and you're standing there holding the flag. But there's also a lot of fun in just going the old-fashioned way, which is put together a band and we were playing and we got discovered.
Sure.
You know, and then we got a deal, like Motley Crue's story. And I don't mean that in a derogatory manner, but they had a very normal path, like you know, a couple of years of, you know, of working at it and finally getting the break while they still had that joy in their hearts for music. I was talking to the late Kevin Dubrow at one time, this was in the 80s, and he said, don't you hate, because Quiet Riot had the same path as Twisted.
Yep.
Great, by the way, great Randy Rhoads doc out there, worth watching. And it really tells you about Quiet Riot. But he said, don't you hate that these bands like Rat and Crew, and they like, together a couple of years, they get signed. They didn't put in the work. I said, no, I don't hate them for that. I said, I wouldn't wish what I've been through on my worst enemy. 10 years is too long. Okay, it's supposed to be fun, not a Herculean task.
Of course. But Kevin, another one. Good God, dude, I miss him all the time. We had such great moments. Like, I really got to know him well. He was having a down period, and so we just kind of naturally gravitated towards each other. He was doing radio like you had done radio. But man, inside, the outside of him was so brusque and would say so many effed up things. And then the inside of that guy was one of the sweetest, kindest, most thoughtful, and genuinely smart human beings. Like, I really loved that guy.
He was a great guy. And funny, so the House of Hair, Sundays, people, this is our 28th year doing House of Hair. Okay, so people have literally, I've had people who were born, grew up, got married, had children while I've been on the air, and I get the emails to show it. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
But the people who auditioned for that show, they auditioned me, Lita Ford, Kevin Dubrow, and Ted Nugent. Those are the four people. And I never spoke to Ted or Lita about their auditions, but when Kevin told me, he said, dude, what'd you do for that audition that got it for you? I said, bro, full on. He goes, what? I said, I was hyped up, full on. He goes, damn, I tried to play the cool DJ. I played cool DJ. I knew I should have gone for it. So he was like, hey, this is Kevin Dubrow on the House of Hair.
Yeah, yep.
And you're listening to Whitesnake. You know, he tried to go that route. I said, no, baby, it's 80s rock, man. You got to go for it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For it, you know?
Oh, dude. Well, and that's it. By the way, this biography, D. Snyder, how did this come about? Streaming on A&E now? Because it just fired up a few weeks ago, right? And it's just hit streaming?
Yeah, you know what? It's you know, you stay around long enough and people start to go taking a second look. But I mean, it's kind of what people like you have known. But there's you know, people are now looking at the whole story. And, you know, because I've done so much and saying there's a lot more to this guy than we thought. And it's worth our time. So, I mean, we got that A&E biography, which is great. You know, which focuses on me. You got this, but there's a a movie, a full length movie coming. It's a documentary, but a 90-minute thing on me,
really,
and going to Washington. But really, just it's also a graphic novel called "He's Not Going to Take It," which is like, how did I become that guy at that moment? Like those two paths, my life path, intersected, and I was there to step up and speak out. You know, and so the book is the we're not going to think about that, and the movie's going to be about that too—a real exploration, more than just the stuff you saw on the newsreel, but like how did Dee Snider become the voice of my, their words, not mine, a generation, but you know, at that moment in time. So it's cool that all these people are interested in exploring and I guess there's, you know, they're, like I said, people expected me to, like, you know, come out with a song and just fade into the sunset. And I don't do that. I'm not shutting down. I'm not shutting up. I'm not going away, you know, so get used to it. Yeah. You know, so and even now, I can't tell you officially, Johnny. So this move to this compound we built, and it's a huge thing to have the family all coming together. But I've got a... a major announcement coming.
Excellent.
And a whole new enterprise, but on a huge level. And I'll tell you what, in, you know, 10 years from now, it's going to be with what I'm doing next. People are going to be, oh, yeah, and he was in a band. What was that band he was in? Because right. They're going to be so focused on, holy crap, this is Dee Snider, the Dee Snider we know today, and this is what he's doing now. So very big. Situation happening here, and in North Carolina. I know that sounds kind of weird, but just one thing about, I heard Jake saying about North Carolina. Well, you said, listen, first of all, it's a purple state, which I really like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like a purple state. But secondly, you know, I said to my kids, you know, there was concern about, like, you know, oh, we get there, we're gonna, you know, sort of become this Southern thing. I said, no. I said, you see the TV show Schitt's Creek?
Yes.
And they said, yeah. I said, you see, watch that show. Those people came to an area that was not their, you know, their comfort zone, embraced the culture, but they didn't change one bit. They brought who they were to that place and even elevated it in a way with their culture, while all the time embracing the culture that was there. I said, you don't have to change. And the fact is, I've gotten here, dude, the governor, the senators, mayors, congresspeople, everybody is press and flesh with me. A lot has to do with the new enterprise as well. I'm doing something to bring a lot of jobs to the state of North Carolina. But still, the fact, the welcome that I've got here has been incredible. And as I told them, I'm a Tar Heel now. My driver's license says so, and they're going to bury me here because I'm not making a move like this again.
Every time we have this discussion, I remember getting a text, this is the end, this is, I'm retiring, and then you bought that beautiful house and built that incredible house out in Belize. This is the end? And I remember thinking, no, it's never going to be the end for him, because what else are you going to do? This is what makes you get up in the morning, purpose, and you're good at it, man. Like, that's really going to be fun. And I think you're going to do great in North Carolina. I happen to love that part of the world. Man, I've ridden out through Kitty Hawk. Man, we'll take a motorcycle ride through Nag's Head out.
Get up in the Smoky Mountains up here.
Yes.
There is, in the autumn, people travel around the world to drive through there and see the changing leaves and, you know, the Appalachians. I mean,
beautiful.
So, brother, we've got rides to have, and we have time to spend, and I just have to wait for the official announcement.
Okay.
I'm partnering up with some people, and we have to make an official announcement, so can't leak it out, but it's coming soon, and just insanely exciting things. And yeah, the joke in my house is every time I say I'm retiring, my wife can't stop laughing. And so, and then we were like, well, now I guess, Faye, she goes, oh yeah, right. And now this new thing I'm doing is the biggest thing I've ever done. So it's just insane and exciting. And I, you know, I think I sound pretty fired up.
Yeah.
You got to be that way to the end, brother.
Well, listen, and before we let you go, there's a couple more things I want to talk about. Like,
I
haven't been able to catch up on the Party Gras shows. I think it was such a great idea for Bret Michaels and you to catch up with each other. Because, listen, I don't care what anybody says. He's one of the nicest, most generous people I've ever met in my life. He's a great human being. He's a dude who wants to go out, play rock and roll, and be happy. He just wants to be happy. And
oh, it's what he lives for. And the Mardi Gras concept was his. And, you know, I've already done about a dozen, and I know I've got about a dozen more shows this year. But he's kind of, I told him he's like, it's like Mission Impossible, the original show where the guy would sit there with his dossier and decide who was right for the mission, you know? So sometimes he got Mark McGrath out there. He's got hip hop artists joining. Don Felder's out there. Lou Graham's out there. He's got country artists out there. So, you know, it's a different mix each time we go. And you know what? Audience loves it. He says nothing but hits. Everybody goes up there to 3-4 songs, and it's just like, it's like a jukebox. It's just like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Well, this is the greatest show of my life.
You're in the feel-good business.
He's a great host.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You're in the feel-good business. And you guys have always remembered that. When it's a twisted show, you bring it. When it's a Dee Snider show, that's what it's all about. Like, entertainment or death, you just keep bringing it because people are paying hard-earned money for you to be there. And it's not just that you're Dee Snider and people can go see Dee Snider. You've never forgotten that there's work to be done, entertainment to be provided, something to show that you do, something that you create. And so many people from the past, I feel like, will go on the tour of the name. But instead of that, you guys, one thing, Brett always shows up and you always show up. So,
Brett and me have on many a flight on his private jet. The boy's doing okay.
Yeah,
we've talked about the fact, you know, that, you know, it's a job. It's not a job, but you're there to work and you're there to entertain the crowd. You're not there to coast.
Right.
You can't ever take the crowd for granted. Neither of us ever takes one person in that crowd for granted. We're scanning the audience, looking for the person who's not having a good time. And, you know, and the last song we do every night is nothing but a good time. But you know, that's one of the best statements ever made. And, you know, and that's the job, man. Go out there. This is people spending hard-earned money. This may be our 100,000th, millionth show. This is the one show. This is their night. And they don't want to hear that you're tired from the rest of the week. They want everything you got, and they expect it, and they deserve it.
Yeah. And dude, I just took a week by myself. I jumped on the bike. I left my house and I wrote. I just started writing. I didn't have any plan. I ended up going down to St. Louis, through Memphis, down into New Orleans, through Jackson, Mississippi, over to Nashville, and out and around. And then finally came home this past Sunday. But I just needed to go out. And so many, you know, those revelations you can have, especially when you're by yourself. What a great world we live in. How lucky we are. Most of all, how lucky we are where we live in this incredible country. I hate to see the division. I hate to hear the arguments. The politics are so stupid and divisive, and we're missing how lucky we are. And I look out into the world and I see countries that don't have it the way we have it, the growing belts, the agriculture, the natural borders, the natural wealth, where we're sitting. You know, I see, and again, that takes me to like the Ukraine position. We forget how good we have it, man. If we could just understand how terrible it is to be in these other places, we would never fight with each other. We would.
You know what I hate more than pumpkin spice latte? The use of the word nightmare.
Right.
It's a nightmare.
We don't know.
It's a nightmare. And, you know, I was checking out at the grocery store and it wouldn't read my barcode. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's
nightmare.
Right.
That's a nightmare. What's going on in the Ukraine is literally a nightmare.
Yeah, it is.
I said there are people in the world suffering in Gaza. With those people, I'm not talking about the politics. I'm talking about the people on the ground. That's a nightmare.
That's right.
The fact that you couldn't get tickets to see Taylor Swift is not a nightmare.
That's right.
It's
that's
an
right.
inconvenience.
Yeah.
It's an inconvenience at best. You know, Ukraine, it's people, it's still going on. You know, it was like in vogue for a while. And then they do talk about it in the news, but still in people's minds, it just kind of become drones on. But people are still dying and suffering. And there's a nation trying to take their sovereignty away from them, actively trying to take their freedom. What we're all fighting so hard for, their freedom, all freedom, is being threatened to be taken away from. They're fighting for their lives and still need our support.
And it's real. And we should support them because they were just, again, it could be you. One day, we always think it'll never be us. It could never be us. One day, it could be us. And you better remember how we got here. I'm a big fan of history because of that, because I watch us repeat it over and over again. I see how despots and dictators move. I see the manipulation of the media. I understand how they land grab and try to vilify another place, or they're trying to do him a favor by taking him over. Listen, Putin's not a good guy. He's a super bad guy. If you think he's not, then you're stupid and you're not paid any attention. It's what he's doing is creating more for them, less for others, and he's going to destroy their world. Every Ukrainian, every kid, every woman, every daughter, every husband, every father, every son, they're going to take him out.
Look, his opening gambit was he's going in to get rid of the Nazis.
It's crazy.
The president of the country is a Jew whose parents or grandparents were in concentration camps, for God's sake.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's crazy.
He's getting the Nazis.
Yeah, but people will. That's the thing, is people don't bother to read and go, how do we take over countries? Well, it's really, you have to have a villain. You have to have this. You're not the problem. They're the problem. Then we can make ourselves great again. We can do this. You know, you just go through. The history repeats itself over and over again because misinformation, disinformation, and the covering up of the truth is always the best way to go the furthest if you're a bad human being. And that's what happens. Dude, helping these guys, by the way, because I've got some, that United 24 that I've read a bunch about, and I know they're doing a great job with that. The fundraising platform for the Ukraine, it's u24.gov.ua, correct?
Yes. And it becomes a drone. You know, people just get tired of hearing about it, but you can't close your eyes, and they're on the offense right now, and they are pushing the Russians back. And this is a sovereign country. And by the way, just a little history. My grandfather, I'm part, was Ukrainian. I was Ukrainian. And back in the damn 1800s, it was occupied by Russia. You know, this is, Russia has constantly been one of those countries making a land grab. And if you think that they'll stop at, you know, one country, oh, they just want the Ukraine. No. Putin has said clearly he would like to restart the Soviet Union, which was a whole bunch of countries that were occupied and taken over. So they are they're really taking a stand now. They've been taking a stand, and they're pushing back hard, but they need our help. So do repeat that website again, please.
Yeah, it's u24.gov.ua. It's United 24, u24.gov.ua, u24.gov.ua. And remember, guys, forget about politics. I mean, you have to take them out. This is about humanity. You know, you all celebrate your freedom. You talk about the word freedom. We throw it around a lot. We throw around patriotism a lot. This is a bad guy trying to hurt good people, and they're just trying to live and survive. So you can lose your politics in it, and just think about it. This is about humanity. It's not about politics. It's never about politics.
Can I say something about charitable donations, Johnny?
Yeah.
And you've done a lot of charity work, as so have I. A lot of times people think, you know, whatever I could donate here is not going to help. And I remember I went to the Grand Canyon, and it was on one of those tours, and the park ranger was, you know, doing the thing. And he said, please do not throw rocks into the Grand Canyon. And someone joked, said, why? He says, because if everybody who visited the Grand Canyon threw a rock in, it would eventually fill up.
That's right. It sounds impossible,
said,
but it is not.
Wow. And I said, and it made me think of charitable work. People say, what's my dollar? What's my $5 donation? What's my $10? Well, imagine everybody gave a dollar.
That's right. That's right.
That's billions of dollars. No. So don't ever view it as the little bit I have to offer doesn't matter. Your generosity is appreciated, and it all counts. It all counts, especially if you don't have it to give. You know, when I see people at the charitable events I do, people giving money that I know is not easy to part with. That's a much bigger deal. It's the old Jesus thing than the rich guys who are writing these huge checks. No, the little guy giving a little bit of money, that means a lot more to them than the billionaires writing, oh, I gave $1 million. Well, thank you. But, you know, don't ever feel that what you have to offer is insignificant. It matters.
It always matters. Isn't it funny, man? Even though I know you've been the same guy through and through with your core tenets about morality and ethics and who you are, But it's funny, it's as we move through this world, you do realize there's nothing more important than trying to leave something good on the backside. It's been so good to get what we've been able to get out of this world. But on the other side, like in the end, what really matters, did you change some lives? Did you bring good into the world? Did you bring some joy as well? But did you leave it a little bit better than maybe what you when you got there? And it's funny to think about, dude, it's the single most important thing you'll ever understand.
And, you know, as I tell people, because I get a lot of appreciation, and it's nice, but that's not why we do it. And I get honored by people for my work or whatever. And I always say, well, I got to make up for the 80s somehow.
Yeah.
You know, the gates are getting closer, my friend.
That's it.
I want to say, yeah, I know I was kind of an idiot in the 80s, but I did better things. Yeah. When I got older, yeah. I tried.
Well, it's called learning, isn't it? It's instead of staying on that same dude, you know, some of the stuff you did, some of the stuff I did, you go, okay, well, then you just try to shape it all up. But in the end, at least for me, Dean, I don't know, the thing that really resonates with me and that I really care about is, in the end, someday we're all going to die. Will somebody go, he was a good man? Will somebody say, he was a good man? And I think that it's probably the greatest gift you could ever have.
100%. 100%, you know, and hopefully we hear it before we go.
Yeah.
Right. No. People are very flattering and appreciative, and that's great. But again, that's not why we're doing it. So, but hey, man, like, you know, if I'm in Kansas City, which is unlikely, but if you're in NC, you got to come by and visit the compound. You got to, and when you hear what I'm doing, again, I'm sorry I can't announce it, but when the announcement comes, Jake, to reach out. I promise. Take it. Once the announcement breaks, we'll talk.
All right.
Because it's going to blow your mind.
All right. Soon. I love you, brother. You take care.
Same, man. Take care of yourself. All right. Bye-bye.
E. Snyder. Nice job, dude.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.